Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verse 12 and verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come and meet in this very simple way. Father, you have ordained the foolishness of preaching as the way to communicate your word, and I thank you for the privilege that I have as your servant to proclaim your word this morning. Father, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase this morning, Father. Lord, I do pray that you be with us as we consider the truths found within your word this morning. Please help us to understand these truths, and please give us the grace to apply these truths this morning. Father, please help me to speak clearly, and I pray that the Holy Spirit does his mighty work this morning. I ask these things in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. The verses before us this morning have created difficulties for Bible interpreters and theologians alike. The age-old struggle, what does God do and what does man do? Well, a topic that has been wrestled with throughout church history, and it's something that we will wrestle with this morning. But before we get to this, in order to grasp and apply the truths found within this text, we need to begin this morning with some theological considerations. For these are foundational in understanding the verses before us this morning. So firstly, I wish to consider a definition. We need to know what this word salvation means in verse 12. But understanding this word is the key to interpreting and applying this text. Our salvation has three dimensions: past, present, and future. And it's very important to understand this and not to mix up these various dimensions. The past dimension of salvation is commonly known as justification. And this is deliverance from the penalty of sin. This is what you and I refer to as our salvation experience, where on account of Christ's finished work, we have been declared righteous. And hence, we are acceptable before God. And this, my friend, is a settled position. This cannot change. The present dimension of salvation is commonly known as sanctification. And this involves deliverance from the power of sin. And this is a continuing work in the life of all of those who are justified. And everyone is at varying stages of this continuing work of being set apart to holiness. The future dimension of salvation is known as glorification. And this is deliverance from the presence of sin. And this will only be attained in heaven when we will be completely and utterly free from sin. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting. But it is the present aspect, the aspect known as sanctification, that our text is speaking on. The Apostle Paul has made it clear in the first chapter that the folk in Philippi are believers. The first verse calls them saints. And now it is his desire that they continue to grow. And it is this that forms the focus of the text before us. In having determined a definition, we must next consider some distorted views. Unfortunately, there are some misconceptions in regards to sanctification. There are some who teach sinless perfection, that it is possible for you and I to live a life that is free from sin. And then at the opposite end of the scale, there are those who teach free grace, that it doesn't matter how we live. Christian growth, personal holiness doesn't matter. It's all about grace. But both of these extremes are scripturally wrong. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Clearly debunking sinless perfectionism. And it's also clear in Romans 6, consider the first verse, if we say that we have no sin, I just quoted the wrong verse. I should have written it down. Turn with me to Romans 6. That'll teach me for being a smarty pants. Romans chapter 6, a verse that I know well, but I had a mind blank. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace abound? What's Paul's answer? God forbid. And also, if sanctification doesn't matter, what is the point of all of the commands throughout the New Testament? The apostles have wasted an awful lot of time in writing all of the imperatives at the latter end of their epistles if it doesn't matter. Two other distorted views in regards to sanctification are also at the opposite ends of the scale. One is referred to as the quietist view. And this is a view where mankind is seen as completely passive in sanctification. That sanctification is all of God. That there is no human effort required whatsoever. This is a mystical and subjective viewpoint. The other extreme is known as a pietist, and they place an emphasis on human efforts. They are aggressive in the pursuit of moral purity. They place a very high emphasis on holy living, obedience, and self-discipline. But this view leads to an overemphasis on self-effort to the exclusion of divine power. The quietist says do nothing. The pietist says do everything. You know, both false extremes of sanctification. So with these theological considerations laying the foundation, I wish to shift our focus now to the text for this morning. And the point this morning is, how do we do sanctification? How is it that we grow as believers? What is our part? What is God's part? It is this that I wish to consider in a sermon that I have entitled, Who Does What? The two verses before us this morning are some of the most important in regards to sanctification within the entire Word of God. As we'll find out, they are incredibly practical and very helpful in understanding the process of sanctification. This process of sanctification is often difficult, isn't it? Sometimes very discouraging. And perhaps this is how you feel this morning. Feels like one step forward, three steps backwards. It feels as though growth is non-existent. The fruits of the Spirit are inconsistent, and it feels as though you struggle with the same sin each and every day. It is your desire to grow because you know this is what God wants from you. You get that it is God's predetermined plan for believers to be conformed into the image of Christ. Yet these things are just not happening in your life, and it is frustrating you. Well, in order for us to experience spiritual growth or to maximize our spiritual growth, it is of vital importance that we understand how this is achieved. And it's this that is revealed before us. We are taught how to develop sanctification. And this morning, I wish to consider two indispensable keys to spiritual growth. And these keys must be held together in order to flourish in the Christian life. The first indispensable key I wish to consider is that of human efforts. We see this in verse 12. Read with me again verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The terms grace, mercy and love are terms that we as Christians cherish, aren't they? We love these terms, yet work, efforts and discipline are not words that we tend to enjoy, are they? Yet these words are of vital importance within the Christian vocabulary in the pursuit of holiness. This verse makes it clear that human efforts is required in the Christian life if we wish to grow. But before we focus in on this, it's important that you and I understand the mood of this text. The apostle at this time, he's not pulling out his metaphorical discipline stick and giving the believers a whack around. Now, this is not a harsh rebuke, but rather this is the idea of a loving father desiring to help his spiritual children to make progress in their life. And this is revealed to us by the use of the word beloved. This expresses the loving, caring motive behind this instruction, as does the compliment for their previous obedience. And it's in this particular mood that the apostle gives the instruction, work out your own salvation. As before addressed, this term salvation is speaking not of justification, for we are saved by grace, but rather it's referring to sanctification, our daily struggle with the desires of the flesh as we strive for personal holiness, with the ultimate desire of conforming to the image of Christ. It is this that we as believers are commanded to work out. The verb work out means to perform, to work to completion, to labor, the idea of energy and effort. This particular Greek word was used in the time of Paul for working within a mine. The idea of getting every little bit of ore out of this mine that was possible. And also in the idea of farming, when one was to harvest to get every little bit of the crop that was possible. And to achieve this, it took much hard work. It took diligent labor. And this is the idea that is being expressed. Now, whether we like it or not, Christian growth requires effort. It requires hard work to work out that which you are as a result of justification. Now, in our justification, we are new creatures. We have been made alive. We have a new identity in Christ, and we are to live this out. And it's this that takes effort. This is not something that just magically happens. Sanctification is not a passive experience. It takes spiritual energy and great diligence to grow as a believer. I'd also like you to note this verb work out is in the present tense. And this highlights that this is a continuous thing. No, spiritual growth demands continuing efforts. This calls for a consistent, active commitment to work out our spiritual development. I wish to draw to your attention the fact that it says your own salvation. Each believer is responsible for themselves, for their own success or failure. No one can force you to grow. And also, in light of this, you know, we cannot blame anyone else for our lack of growth. You know, we are individually responsible to put in the required effort and devote the necessary energy to the pursuit of holiness. Now, this makes sense with just about every example in this world. In order for anything to grow, to develop, or be produced, much effort is required. Consider a plant. A plant does not just grow. The seed must be planted. It must be watered diligently, fertilized, sprayed. All of this requiring effort to ensure the end product. To build a house requires much hard work. Unfortunately, it doesn't just magically happen. It requires the right materials, the right skills, with much diligent labor. And it's this that applies too when it comes to sanctification. Yet how often this is ignored. But if we wish to grow in the Christian life, we must put in continuing effort. Now, this principle of sanctification involving hard work is not limited to this text. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5, the apostle gives a list of things that he wants us to add to our faith. And the first one that he says is, give all diligence. We are to strive for this. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Apostle Paul declares that he labored more abundantly than they all. Now, it is clear that sustained effort and diligent labor is required. But in understanding this, the question is, what does this look like practically? And I think this can boil down to one word, and that is obedience. Obedience is the key. Verse 12, the verse we are looking at, begins with the word wherefore. This is a reference back to the previous verses, particularly the humiliation of Christ in verses 5 through to 8. And the central theme of the humiliation of Christ is his humble obedience. And it is this Christ-like humble obedience that is required in spiritual growth. For us to grow, we are to obey the word of God. Within our personal conduct, we are to strive daily to live faithful and obedient lives, obeying both the positive and negative instructions clearly laid out before us in the Word of God. But this takes effort, doesn't it? This cannot be obtained passively or through laziness. It requires personal attention. It requires individual effort. You know, only you yourself can stop the lying. Stop the swearing, stop the gossiping, stop looking at the pornography. Now, no one else can make you be kind, loving, and caring. Only you can decide how much you're going to read the Bible, when you're going to attend church, how much you're going to pray. Only you can decide how you will act and react. You know, both the positives and negatives of Scripture can only be obtained by diligently striving to be obedient. It's only through this that we can obtain spiritual growth. But you must decide. You must put in the effort. You must put off and put on. And it's this very reason why many believers are not growing. Because we are not putting in the required effort, we are lazy. We are just expecting this to happen. We are not diligent in taking heed to the instructions of the Scriptures. We are not doing the Word. We are often not living out what we are in Christ. And hence, growth is not forthcoming. Now, I'm probably right thinking that a lot of you probably feel a little bit uncomfortable right now. After all this talk about human efforts. And if I left the sermon at this, you would be correct in feeling uncomfortable. But there is a second key. And it's from this second key that enables and necessitates human efforts. Human effort is only profitable because of the second key. And the second indispensable key to Christian growth is heavenly energy. And we see this in verse 13. Verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." This verse clearly teaches that God is at work in sanctification. In fact, sanctification is only possible because God is at work. Apart from this reality in verse 13, what we just considered in verse 12 about human effort would be an impossibility. Human effort would prove vain if God first was not at work. But we are informed here that God is at work in us. God working in us makes spiritual growth a possibility. Before I break this down, I want us to pause just for a brief moment and consider this. You know, how amazing it is that we serve a God that loves and cares for us as individuals. That our God is a personal God who is at work within each and every one of his children. To me, what a truly staggering thought that is, to think that God, not only did he save us, but now he is at work within us, enabling spiritual growth. It is acknowledging this reality of who we are in Christ and the fact that God is at work in us that enables spiritual growth. We must realize this and submit to this. And it's also this truth that should encourage you and I as believers, that it is in fact possible to live an obedient, fruitful Christian life. And this is because the old man is dead. We are now new men, and God is working within. And we know that with God, all things are possible. All believers can grow, including you. The Greek word translated worketh in verse 13 is where we get our English word energy from. The idea is God energizes his children to obey and serve. His power enables our sanctification. Without this, we could not grow. God is our indispensable power resource. Let me illustrate. You know, the jug will not boil without being plugged in. And so we too, as believers, cannot grow without God's work within us. But how is God's sanctifying work achieved? Well, it is achieved by his word. John 17:17 tells us, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The word of God is the tool that is used, and it's accompanied by the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. It's by these two means working together that God enables us to grow unto Christ's likeness. Without the inseparable work of the Word and the Spirit, it is not possible. The Holy Spirit is actually described as the sanctifying Spirit in 1 Peter 1:2, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And this is one of his purposes in coming to indwell the believer. The Spirit not only plays a vital part in our justification, but also our sanctification. Now, we as believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and it's by his power that we grow. And we must remember that this is a strong power. It is by this power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's this power that enables us to grow as believers. The Spirit, by his work of illumination, of conviction, of instruction, and so forth, produces growth within believers. It's the Spirit's work to war against the lust of the flesh and enable you and I to bring forth fruit. It's by the work of the Spirit that we as men are transformed. Without this work, it is impossible. two specific areas of enabling are revealed within our text for this morning. We are told that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. To will and to do. This reveals the two specific areas of this enabling work. Now, firstly, to will. This speaks of God transforming our will and our desires. God infuses a desire within us to grow. And isn't that wonderful? Because without this work of God, we would never desire this. Now, this is not a desire that naturally comes to us. In the natural man, we would never desire to conform to the image of Christ. But God, in His grace, has installed this desire within all of His children. It's He who puts this desire within to live a holy life. This is not something that you and I can cultivate. But not only has God given the desire, He's also given the means for this desire to be fulfilled. And this is the idea of the two words, to do. To do is the same Greek word, as worketh. And this also speaks of energy. God has given the enabling energy to the believer for sanctification to be a possibility. He gives the power through the Spirit, as we've just seen, for this to be a reality. And this reminds us that God never makes a demand without supplying the necessary ability and means to perform it. And our sanctification is no different. And this, beloved, is good news. We must realize that we can grow as believers. That both the desire and the power has been given to us for this to be possible. God has given you and I all the required tools to grow and pursue holiness. Without these tools, it would not be possible. But since all the believers have the tools, it's up to you and I as to how we use them. And it's here where human effort comes into the equation. That God working does not remove the need for you and I to work. Although without the work of God, human effort would be pointless. Yet it is necessary in light of the sanctifying work that God does if we wish to grow. What's important for you and I to understand is that it's actually possible to reject this sanctifying work of God. And this happens when we fail in the human side of things. The Bible speaks of quenching the Spirit, of grieving the Spirit. It also speaks of a seared and a defiled conscience. And this, my friend, is the sad result of rejecting the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, of refusing to obey, of refusing to put off and put on. And unfortunately, I wonder how many Christians have grieved the Spirit, have quenched His work within their lives, refusing to obey, and now, as a result, are not growing. Beloved, this morning, we must understand that the will and the power to grow has been given to you. The sanctifying Spirit is within you, desiring to work. Spiritual growth is possible. But will you do your part? Are you actively striving for growth? Are you determined in the power of the Spirit to obey? And we must remember that no one can force you to immerse yourself in the Word. No one can force you to obey the Word. The Spirit will help you with this, but you must choose. Much effort and much diligence is required for us to grow by the power of God. You and I have been given the tools, but will we use those tools? It's often the effort that is required that is missing. Heavenly energy and human effort are both required in order to achieve spiritual growth. It's crucial that we comprehend both of these facets and that they belong together. Otherwise, spiritual growth will be severely hindered. Holiness or spiritual growth will never happen apart from the power of God. But trusting in the power of God doesn't ever put an end to trying. Amen. Let's pray.